And
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Let us remain standing as we sing together hymn number 308.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We welcome you this day on this joyous Easter Sunday to Westminster Presbyterian Church. We encourage you to sign your attendance in. There are friendship pads there in the pews, and you can pass those down the row. We also have prayer cards as you enter, and we consider it a great privilege and a joy to pray for you and with you. So please fill one of those out and give them to the ushers if you have a prayer request. Just a couple of announcements on this Sunday as we worship together. You may have noticed on your way in that we continue to have progress with our capital campaign and the additions and enhancements to our building. The Welcome Center is almost finished, so if you see some things that are not yet done, there's a reason for that. So we will dedicate that space to the glory of God on May 20th, which is also Pentecost, and we are excited about that space and the enhancement of our church together. So encourage you to peek in there, not yet take your coffee in there, but encourage you to be appreciative of this great space that we have at Westminster. We will not be having Sunday school today, but we'll resume our schedule next week on April 8th, and so encourage you to come back for Sunday school. Also, Friendship Club, one of our fellowship groups, meets this Thursday, April 5th at 6 o'clock, and they will be hearing from Chuck Rowe, speaking on the Boys and Girls Club, so we encourage you to come and join them at 6 o'clock, and it's a potluck, which we Presbyterians do well, so encourage you to bring a dish, and if you have questions about that, you can call the office. One of the great ministries that we have an opportunity to participate in with the other Presbyterian churches in the Cedar Valley is Sunday Supper. It's on every Sunday throughout the year, except for some holidays like today, but we feed about 150 people who come together, and we're always looking for volunteers, so if you've not yet done that or you have done it, we encourage you to sign up today in the Welcome Center. We need some help in the month of April, and it's a great opportunity for you to use your hands and your feet for Christ, so encourage you to do that. Also, our women's Bible study that has taken kind of a siesta through the winter months will be coming back to life on April 9th, and that will start not tomorrow, but a week from this coming Monday at 9 o'clock, and that meets in 216 under the leadership of Reverend Kathy Young, so encourage you to come and be a part of that time. Pastor Dan.
Excellent. Next week, we'll have services for our normal time, but in 2 weeks, we will be having our youth musical, which is always a wonderful time in our church here, and that we'll have one service then in 2 weeks at 10 o'clock, and that'll be in the Shared Life Center. So let's definitely put that on your calendar and make sure to come to that service. And then also that same day, we will have another journey class that will be starting up. And our journey class is an intensive discipleship course that we offer here at Westminster. So you can come to that informational meeting to learn a little bit more about that class and if it's right for you. So I encourage you to think about going to both of those things, obviously. Good. All right. You ready to worship?
Hope so. They don't quite look awake.
Why else did you come today?
There you go.
Are you ready to worship? All right. Would you join me then in our call to worship? People of faith, this is the day.
Glorious day. Resurrection day.
Because Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed.
So we gather on this resurrection morning to worship God and to lift our voice in song.
We sing praise to the one who emptied a tomb and filled our lives.
Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Thank you. Let us confess our sins together. Gracious God, you have walked patiently with us throughout our Lenten journey. You have celebrated our successes and our growing understanding of your love. And you have mourned our failures and rejections of your healing mercies. This day, as we have gathered to celebrate the joy of Easter, let us remember that we are to become Easter people, people of the resurrection, people who know that what was thought to be impossible has been conquered. Forgive our stubbornness and fears. Fill us with your healing love and help us to become the disciples. For we ask this in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Hear now the assurance of pardon. Friends, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God's promise is that your sins and mine are forgiven. We celebrate God's grace and sing God's praise.
May be seated. Friends, during our prayers of the people this day, I would like to use a petition, which is not something we often do here. But when I say, Lord of life, I would ask you to respond with, hear our prayer. So, Lord of life, amen. So let us bring the needs of the church, the world, and all of those in need to God's loving care, saying, Lord of life. Let us pray together. God of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, you have showed your power that is greater than sin and death. Inspire us this day once again with this story that we might long to see a new world under your rule and be brought, that this world would be brought evermore into existence. Indeed, Lord of life, we ask this day that you would empower the church in all places throughout the world, in its life and in its witness. Would you break down the barriers that so often divide us, so that united in your truth and in your love, that the church may be a faithful witness to you, Lord of life. And Lord, we had asked you that you would guide the rulers of all of the nations of this earth. Would you move them to set aside their fear, their greed, their vain ambition, and bow to your sovereign rule? Would you inspire them to strive for peace and for justice, that all of your children may dwell secure, free of war and injustice? Lord of life, and would you restore among us a love for the earth that you have created and which is our home? Help us to care for the land, the waters, and the air, and give us respect for all of your creatures, so that we might live in harmony with everything that you have made, and that the world would be preserved for future generations. Lord of life, and holy God, we would ask that you would hear the cries of the world's hungry, hurting, homeless, the victims, the oppressed, the threatened, and the fearful. for any and all who live or who are unable to live into the new life that you call us to. Would you fill all of us, your people, with compassion to look on all who suffer and to fill us with a desire to help and the knowledge to know what to do, even if it's just small ways. Holy God, would you give us the courage to reorder our lives so that all people might have their rightful share of food, medical care, shelter, and education, so that all really might have the necessities of a life of dignity. Holy God, give us all a new vision of a life of harmony for all people. Lord of life. And Holy God, we would ask that you would sustain those among us who are in need of your healing touch. Especially this day, we pray for those who are sick, especially ones on our prayer list, like Faith Songson, who's recovering from back surgery still, and a new one that was brought to our attention this morning, little Michael Suarez, who is just a few months old and will have heart surgery this week, and he's the great-grandson of Jerry and Sharon Zbornik, and others that we know in our life who need your healing touch. Lord, we also pray this day that you would give hope to the dying and comfort all of those who mourn. And would you uphold all who suffer this day in body, in mind, in spirit, not only those that we know and love, but also those who are known only to you, that they may know the peace and the joy of your supporting care. Lord of life. And Holy God, on this Easter morning, surrounded by these lilies and filled with the hope of life beyond death, we offer thanks once again for all of the loved ones who have departed from this world and have impacted our lives and whom we long to see once again someday. And all of those who wait with us a new heaven and a new earth that is coming in your everlasting kingdom. Lord of life, and Holy God, we ask that you would strengthen this day, this congregation, in its work and in its worship. Would you fill our hearts with your self-giving love, that our voices may speak your praise, and that our lives may conform to the image of your Son. Holy God, nourish us with your word this morning, that we may faithfully minister in your name and witness to your love and your grace for all of the world. Lord of life, eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and on earth, accept these, the prayers of your people, and strengthen us to do your will, as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
The first scripture lesson is taken from the book of Psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become my chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The word of the Lord.
I invite the children to come forward for this morning's children's moment. Well, good morning. How are you guys? Good. Yeah, you all look good this morning. Colorful outfits, matching outfits. I always wait for some kid to show up in their pajamas, and I just say, you know, good for you, Mom. You know, just for being here, you know. But you guys look fabulous. Oh, did you guys get any candy? You got some candy maybe yesterday, today? You got your candy at home? That's a good place to store it. Did you keep it in a safe? Somebody said you've got gum. Does anybody know what this is?
Gum.
You ever see a package like this? It was hard for me to find this. You've seen something like this? All gum comes packaged differently, but when I was a kid, you know, we used to have gum that came like this. And so I wanted to share a little bit of my favorite candy this morning with you, so I brought this Juicy Fruit. Yeah, any lovers of Juicy Fruit in the building? All right, there's one. No wonder it's so hard to find. All right, so here we go. You just take the wrapper off, and you pull out a stick here of gum. You ever see sticks like this anymore? Why don't you go ahead and open that up and see what it looks like. Okay. Got one for you, too. Why not? Open it up. What? Did you eat it?
No, it's empty.
It's empty? What about you? Wait a second. They're all... Hey, you open this one. You try that one. They're empty?
Yeah!
Oh. Well, you know what? April Fools. I, for one, love that Easter has fallen on April Fool's Day. April 1st. I'm sorry, you guys have plenty of candy. I hope no one goes crying about this home. But part of the story today is a little bit like a prank. I mean, Jesus pulls the ultimate prank on not his disciples or any of us, but on death. He says, even death has no power over me and over us. Almost like that phrase, have you ever heard that? I laugh in the face of danger. Do they say that anymore? No, probably not. I laugh in the face of danger. I laugh at death. Because on the story today, we're reminded that Jesus has power even over death. And it's a beautiful story that reminds us how powerful God is. Let's pray together. Holy God, we give thanks again for this story of Jesus who has been raised from the dead. And so you have reminded us that all things are possible. Even the things that we can't even possibly imagine to be true. That is possible too. Won't you fill us with hope and joy this morning as we remember that you too have power over everything, even death. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. I'll take the trash.
Thank you.
Well, good morning again and happy Easter to all of you. It is a joy to see each and every one of you here. I know many of you have returned from warmer temperatures to balmy Waterloo, Iowa today. One of the coldest Easters on record, I heard this morning, but it is very warm in here as we gather together in the name of the risen Christ. So let us listen for the gospel proclaimed today from the 20th chapter of John, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. Listen for the word of God for your heart this day. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrapping, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord for us this day and every day. Thanks be to God. Let us join together in prayer. Again, gracious and holy God, we thank you for creating this day, and let us truly rejoice and be glad in it. For it is no joke. It is a day like no other day, a day in which our hearts are full of hope and promise, because you are not in that empty tomb, but have risen from the dead and live on in our hearts this day and for eternity. May these words that are proclaimed truly bring life to our weary souls, lift our spirits to your love, that we would embrace the truth of your resurrection. We pray this in the mighty and holy name of Jesus. Amen. A teacher who was trying to challenge her children to think a little deeper in Sunday school asked the kids, "What does Easter mean to you?" And quickly the child raised their hand and said, "We'll get to have egg salad sandwiches for the next 2 weeks. Woohoo!" Now, I don't know about how excited you are about egg salad sandwiches. I happen to like them, perhaps the only one in my home. But I hope that the celebration today means more to you than just the joy of having that great egg salad sandwich for the next 2 weeks. Because this gospel that we read today, it's the truth of our lives, not just on Easter morning, but for every morning, to think about the love that is proclaimed, a love like no other in our lives. Think about Mary of Magdalene. Maybe you know just a little bit about her from previous sermons or lessons, of the fact that her life, it was not always one of great joy or great harmony. She struggled in her life. And along came Jesus, the Savior of the world. Now we know that it wasn't an automatic thing that she knew indeed that he was the Savior and that he was God. Like many of us, she probably had some doubts along the way. But she traveled with him. She saw these miracles unfolding before her. And on this day in which we find her at the tomb with the angels and the gardener, aka Jesus, the risen Lord, the angels and Jesus both ask her, "Why? Why are you weeping?" Now you can imagine her response would have been like, "Wow, where have you been? Under a rock? How can you not understand that Jesus, my Savior, my friend, the one who has brought me life, they killed him. They hung him on a cross. Bled and died. Do you not know?" And then the gardener, right? Jesus asked that same question, "Why? Why are you weeping? They have taken away my Lord." She's suffering. She's suffering because of this great loss in her life. Have any of you ever suffered? Have you ever suffered a loss of a job, of a relationship, of a place in your life that felt good to you, and it was taken away? Have you ever suffered the loss of a child, of a parent, of a grandparent, of a dear friend? I'm going to guess yes, because we know that our human existence, our earthly body, it does come to an end someday when our heart stops beating. But the joy of this day, the truth of this day that Jesus wants Mary, wants all of us to know and to grasp and to live out, is that Christ's resurrection has overcome this death. All of our deaths. Soren Kierkegaard, the great Danish philosopher, theologian, wrote, "Faith sees best in the dark. Faith sees best in the dark." Do you understand the depths of that quote? might be still a little early to grasp that the reason that Christ died and walked with us and came back to life is because all of us are going to have those dark, dark times. We don't always feel the joy and excitement that we do on a morning like this. And it is what sustains us and brings us through those dark times. It is indeed our faith. Even if it's as small as a mustard seed, tiny, right? We have this faith that sustains us through the dark times. Many of you were here back on February 14th, another Hallmark holiday, right? Happened to have been also Ash Wednesday. And many of you came forward and had your foreheads marked, proclaiming that indeed you are a child of God. And I read the text that night from this same gospel, from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, in which Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus called out, right, Mary. And she responded, she knew him. He wasn't the gardener anymore. In her grief, in her darkness, her faith brought her to this place of knowing this was her Savior calling her. Can you hear him? Can you hear the risen Savior calling your name? It's not a joke. It's the truth of life. Jesus calling each and every one of your names. In your bulletin today, there's a quote in the beginning of the service written by Philip Brooks. Now, if you know anything about Philip Brooks, you might know that he wrote actually a hymn that we sing usually on December 24th, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," part of our Christmas tradition. But in this quote from Brooks, he says, "Let every man and woman count himself immortal. That's you and me. Let him catch the revelation of Jesus in his resurrection. Let him say not merely, 'Christ is risen,' but 'I shall rise.'" Again, that's you, that's me. I shall rise. If all we do today is go out for Easter brunch and wait to gain those calories from all that candy, if all we do is put on our best and come to church, and yet we don't rise, the truth of this day, it's lost on us. I have the joy, sometimes the curse, of having an office in this church that is right over where these beloved souls practice on Wednesday nights. And I hear them warming up. I hear them sometimes struggling with what they might be singing. And I hear them victorious, especially when they come into this holy place. I have listened for these past weeks as they have rehearsed again and again the anthem that they will sing for all of us this morning during the offertory called "I Will Rise." It's written by Chris Tomlin, and I want you to especially hear the chorus that you'll soon hear beautifully proclaimed from them. "I will rise when he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. I will fall on my knees, and I will rise." Now, when you get to your Easter brunch today, they may look at you a little off when you say, "I will rise." because I also want to live a resurrected life. I want to be that Easter person who brings life through Christ to those around me. I don't think it's any joke that you could list quickly a few people in your life who are pretty down and out and need to know the truth of salvation, and that Jesus didn't come this day and rise again just so we would have a great meal. But he came to offer us life, not just any life, but life abundant. When I was doing my seminary work, I met a pastor named Max, and he has an incredible ministry in the Milwaukee area. This ministry comes through some pain because he often is dealing with people who are down and out and not in any place of life. The ministry is called Street Life Communities. And Pastor Max and those who assist him literally walk the streets looking to bring hope and life to those who are forlorn. This week he wrote on his blog, "As I stepped out of the van, he called out in a joyous voice, 'Hey, Street Life!' And when I turned around, I couldn't see who it was because it was dark and he was backlit. My alarm bells started going off because he was moving quickly towards me. He stopped and he realized my posture and he said, 'What? You don't recognize me?' I moved closer to see him. He was muscular and bright and full of joy and life. But I didn't recognize him again until he said, 'Pastor Max, it's me.' Oh my goodness, I thought to myself, it was Samuel. He looked completely different, 20 healthy pounds heavier, and eyes full of light. And yet, he was also the same. What had always been good about him now had moved to the front, and he was full of light. He told me that he is now 6 months clean from the crack and the heroin, demons that for years had fully possessed him. He was wearing his security guard uniform from his new job, and he said, 'I finally have Jesus. I finally have Jesus. And it's good. It's really good.' I thought to myself, honestly, we or someone else would find him dead one day. And here he was, more alive than I could ever describe to you. Samuel was alive because Jesus is alive. Mary in the tomb had that same encounter with Jesus. He called her name. She recognized him. The Lord of life had risen from the dead. And all is good, really good. Pastor Max concludes his thoughts. Samuel wasn't dead, but he might as well have been, as far as our society says. Now Samuel is alive, somehow resurrected. It happens, friends. It's a real thing. Resurrection. It's a way of life. Is it a way of life for you this day? Will you proclaim truly in your hearts, your mind, in your soul that Christ is alive? Wake up. Christ is alive. Amen. Can I get another amen from a bunch of Presbyterians? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the joy of the resurrection and that you call each and every one of us to new life, life that is relevant, life that is full, and that even in the suffering and the darkness, you are there, alive, for you have overcome death. Let us believe it with all of our being. Amen and amen. I invite you at this precious time to stand and respond to the gospel of the Lord as we sing together Christ Arose, hymn number 294.
You may be seated. Friends, believe it or not, it's spring. Believe it or not, Jesus is risen from the dead. I don't know if any of you are gardeners. Are there big gardeners out there? There's one in the back. I'm kind of more of an idea. I like the idea of gardening more than the actual reality. It just seems like I'm always gone for too long at some point in the summer that the weeds just overtake the whole thing, right? But I bring this up because gardening is this beautiful thing, right, where you take this plot of soil, this ground that would do nothing, it would just sit there, but you want it to produce something. You want it to become something beautiful, something useful, to do something to make this world a better place. And in the gospel story we just read, Mary mistakes Jesus for a gardener, which many scholars think hints back at the beginning of Genesis, God, the original gardener who brings life into this whole world. And so it is with this story that we're reminded that God is bringing forth new life, and we are the soil. And that's really what offering is and it's about. It's about allowing ourselves to become part of God's garden. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Holy God, as we seek to allow our lives to be part of your garden, we ask that you would take us on that journey of the people in the story this morning. Let us not just take this lightly, as though, yeah, Christ is risen from the dead. But go through the moment of despair that Mary went through, the confusion, the uncertainty, and move into the place of disciples where they become to see what has really happened and to be filled with the joy that this is actually possible, that new life beyond sin and death is possible. And may it spur in us imaginations for all kinds of things and ways that we can live and be and create in this world that is often so full of darkness and despair and doubt and death. Indeed, Lord, would you lead us in the ways of Christ, the ways of everlasting life. Amen and amen. Let's sing together, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Again, we thank you so much for spending your Easter morning here at Westminster. In the words of Ann Weems, go now with faithful stamina into your courtyards to answer whether you know him or not. Go knowing that he who said, follow me, will stand with you. Go knowing that when you falter, he will hold you up. Go knowing that when you fail, he will forgive you. Go knowing that when you say, I know this Jesus, you will rise, you will dance with the angels on Easter morning. May you know the peace of faithfulness, the joy of community, and the love of Christ. Go in that spirit. Amen and amen. Happy Easter.